become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm Wendy Pilot, and I'll be hosting today. Robert is in a meeting with his Ho-Chunk Nation. On Native Roots Radio, we discuss Native news and events. And as you all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond. On today's show, Ogama will be interviewing Joey Pelletier and Nolan Berglund. But first, let's get to Ogama with the news. The news, by the way, you won't hear anywhere else. Welcome, Ogama.
Hi, Ani Buju, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe. I'm a member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I have the news for you on Native Roots Radio. I always like to start with some news on what's going on with the Line 3 movement, because the Line 3 movement is super important to us here at Native Roots Radio. Tomorrow is also a super important day for the Line 3, because tomorrow is the National Day of Action for the Line 3 pipeline. It's tomorrow starting at 2 p.m. or 4 p.m. in most places. You are asked to go and picket your local Army Corps of Engineers offices. I got an update this afternoon from McGeezy Will Fly, formerly Camp McGeezy, stating that their action that they had planned that I reported on last week that was going to go at the Douglas County Jail or Douglas County Courthouse in Superior has actually been moved, and they're going to be at 600 South Lake Avenue in Duluth for the National Day of Action. And I do believe that is the Army Corps of Engineers office in Duluth, just outside of Canal Park in Duluth. So you can join McGeezy Will Fly there for some hot chocolate and to tell the Army Corps of Engineers how you're feeling about the Line 3 pipeline. In Minnesota, in the metro of Minnesota, the Army Corps of Engineers picket in the Twin Cities is going to be at the St. Paul office at 185th Street East in St. Paul. And that one is starting at 5 p.m. There's also Chicago on the 14th at 3 p.m. at the Winnetrust Building, the Army Corps of Engineers at 231 South LaSalle Street in Chicago. And let me just take a look here if we've got one over in our neighboring Wisconsin. Yep, it looks like the Army Corps of Engineer office in Green Bay, in Madison at the Capitol, and also over in, even in Toronto. So these are planned nationwide throughout the United States and into Canada. The reason I believe that December 14th is so critical is because December 14th was the first direct action against the Line 3 pipeline back in 2020. So that's really exciting. And we're going to hear a little bit more about what tomorrow's plans are when I talk to Mr. Ernest Joseph Opgaard Pelletier III later on in the segment. Other exciting things that are happening right now, the 35th annual Bigfoot Ride is happening. The Bigfoot Ride honors those Dakota 38 plus 2 who were hung at the word of Abraham Lincoln the day after Christmas. They had just left, I believe, Sitting Bull's grave site they planned to leave Sitting Bull's grave site on December 15th and arrive at Timber Lake. And where they will end is always back here in Mankato in Minnesota, honoring again the Dakota 38 plus 2, and the riders are out there in the cold with their horses in this storm. So I just want to let you all know that our prayers are with you, and we absolutely love and honor the work that you are doing right now to bring attention and history back to that. Wendy, did you hear about the tornado in the south this weekend?
I sure did.
Oh, my heart is
devastating, terrible, terrible thing. I don't know the death toll. The last time I looked at it was almost 70 and counting. So I don't know what happened. So
the most the most updated article I was able to find today said it was updated as of about 4:30 a.m. on Sunday, and it said more than 80 were feared dead in southern states. In Kentucky alone, it was more than 70 people.
Yeah,
and terrible. I mean, I'm just floored.
We're seeing global warming at its best, and this is what's happening. More powerful storms coming in earlier and in, at times that we've never seen them before.
Right. And as Extinction Rebellion, Bob Blake posted this, I think Winona LaDuke and other people had too, from Climate Alert. Tornado debris went 35,000 feet into the air, and the twister ran 240 miles, and it may have been the strongest tornado that's ever been recorded. It was 283 miles per hour gate to gate and a velocity at 5,000 feet above the ground in Missouri, making this the strongest tornadic gate-to-gate couplet in Doppler radar history. The previous tie was between a Greensburg, Kansas 2007 EF5 and a Tuscaloosa, Alabama 2011 EF4 at 280 miles an hour. And so far, it has hit at least three states. The other really unnatural thing about this that somebody tweeted, and I found this especially pertinent, is a bunch of people in power are going to talk about how this tragic natural disaster happened, and they wanted to know what's natural about a giant tornado in December killing people who were still working on factory floors at 3 a.m. despite weather warnings. Many of those that were dead were from working in a candle factory or in an Amazon warehouse. Looks like the Mayfield Consumer Products candle factory, as well as a Amazon distribution unit, had people that were still on the floor and not to safety despite the weather warnings that were coming in. So, you know, and on top of this was at 3 a.m. So, you know, I have some questions personally about that. I don't know about you, Wendy.
Yeah, it's terrible. People shouldn't be working at 3 o'clock in the morning despite those warnings that they were given. They should have stopped work. They should have went to a safe place, whether it be somewhere else or in a basement or something. So it's really, I think a lot of people are going to be answering a lot of questions.
Yeah, I think a lot of these major companies are going to have to answer for the safety of their the individuals they employ, because they should not, you're correct, they should not have been on the floor. They should have most definitely been escorted to safety, given a safe place to be, and none of that happened in a lot of cases, it sounds like. So I'm just my heart hurts for your families, and you know, we want to put those prayers up. In national news, the Bureau of Indian Affairs has launched a new missing and murdered Indigenous persons website. I guess it's dedicated to solving cases. This came in from nativenewsonline.net. On Friday, they announced the launch of the new website, and the website is to draw attention to unresolved missing and murdered Indigenous persons cases. The BIA, the Office of Justice Services Missing and Murdered Unit, is working on, and they invite the public and law enforcement to help solve those cases. If you're interested, the website is bia.gov/service/MMU. And you can view missing and murdered cases, submit a tip or report a missing and murdered case, and learn more about the crisis and how the BIA is attempting to address missing and murdered Indigenous people's cases. And another quick national news here, the 5th Annual Indigenous Hemp Conference has been announced. It's going to be March 1st and 2nd, 2022. And that is, of course, hosted at the Maple Leg in Callaway, Minnesota, by Winona's Hemp and Heritage Farm. So through the 8th Fire Project and others, there's a huge collaborative, and the Hemp Conference is a really big deal. And I can't wait to go and check that out in March. And then the Reservation Dogs was nominated for a Golden Globe, which is really, really exciting. Us Native people are quite happy about that, aren't we?
That is exciting. So exciting. We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And up next is Joey Peltier.
We are a Calusa Nation. We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hamidakiapi, Ruben Amakiapi, Gamaza Aditi Hemie. I'm Ruben, and I'm a recording artist. COVID cases are still high in Indian country. Even if you're a younger person, you're still at risk for getting COVID or spreading it to friends, family, elders, teachers, and classmates. Right now, anyone over the age of 12 is eligible for a COVID vaccine. The vaccines will protect you from severe illness and make it much less likely that you'll spread COVID to others. Plus, there's more great reasons to get vaccinated. All Minnesota teens between ages of 12 to 17 that completed their two-dose vaccine series in 2021 are eligible to enter a drawing for a $100,000 college scholarship. So protect yourself and others by getting vaccinated. You may even win some cash or a college scholarship. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov. Get vaccinated and don't miss this great opportunity for a college scholarship. 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Wendy Pilot hosting today in for Robert. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're going to be hearing from Ogama, and she's going to be doing a special interview. So why don't you go ahead, Ogama?
Of course. I would love to welcome back Mr. Ernest Apgar Peltier, Ernest Joseph Apgar Peltier. So we know him as Joey, but Joey, would you like me to call you Ernest or Joey for the show?
You know, go with what you're comfortable with. My friends call me Joey, and you're a friend of mine. So go ahead.
Okay, we'll take it away. Joey is a community organizer, and he is also a candidate for Congress in rural Minnesota. But the reason that we've got you on today, Joey, that's so exciting to me is that you have plans for tomorrow for the National Day of Action. Is that right?
That sure is. Just starting out, Anin, Buju, Wendy, Ogama, thank you. Miigwech for the space on the show today, a chance to share important goings-ons here in Native country. I want to say prayers go out to the family and folks that have been impacted by the extreme climate disasters. Tomorrow, on December 14th, marking the one-year anniversary of the start of the construction of Enbridge Line 3 expansion project and the direct actions to stop it, we are renewing our calls to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to order a federal environmental impact statement. The need for a federal EIS has reached an emergency level. It's starting at 2 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern time at the U.S. Corps of Engineers offices across the United States. As for myself, I plan on going with my sister tomorrow. We're leaving Bemidji early in the morning, making the trip out to the Army Corps of Engineers office in St. Paul to participate at the 5 p.m. action there.
Oh, that's exciting. I know there's another one that's happening up in Duluth, too, at the Army Corps of Engineer office there, too. I think McGizzy Will Fly is leading that one. So I'm excited to hear that there's going to be. I always like it when there's multiple actions happening in multiple parts of any one given state. I find that to be especially powerful.
Agreed. And as a community organizer, I kind of know what's going on. And we have another action going on in Fargo-Moorhead. Put on by the Fargo-Moorhead Water Protectors. If you go over to their Facebook page, the event's right up on there.
Oh, wonderful. And I think that Facebook page is FM Water Protectors. When you search it on Facebook, I don't think it says Fargo Moorhead. I think it says FM Water Protectors, just as a quick heads up for people. How can people find information for what might be happening in their area if they're not in Minnesota?
There's a few planned here in Minnesota on the actionnetwork.org action page. I shared the links to the producers in the private chat, and we can share them onto the Facebook chat also. They were the actionnewsnetwork.org link, and then there's a Facebook link that's also attached to that. And we're having actions across the United States, as I said, at your local Army Corps of Engineers office. If you don't have one and you want to have a solidarity event joining us, you can always join up at like a Chase Bank or a Wells Fargo Bank and move with the divestment movement through that. And that's a great solidarity a feature with us.
Yes, absolutely. And I think Stop the Money Pipeline has some events that are posted tomorrow for the National Day of Action as well, in solidarity with the Wet'suwet'en people up in Canada as well. So that's really good to be able to tie these different events and groups all together. You know, Joey, I wanted to mention to people too, so you ran for a local office in Bemidji during the last election cycle. Is that right?
The campaign we had last year was my first campaign where I was the actual candidate. I have worked on a handful of campaigns throughout my career, and I'm glad to say that we got the purpose of the campaign completed, even if we did not win the seat. We lost by 30 votes in the primary, and the purpose of our campaign then, and the part of the purpose of our campaign now, was to bring our voices to the table. As Auntie Deb Holland states, you know, If you're not at the table, you're what's being served. And we did that by inspiring Indigenous and like-minded campaigns across the United States. And I want to give a huge shout out to our local champions, Dan Jourdain and Audrey Thayer here in Bemidji.
Absolutely. We love both Audrey and Dan, and we had them on a lot during the election cycle this past year. So what campaigning are you doing for this election cycle? Which office, I guess, are you running for, Joey?
We are running for U.S. House of Representatives here in rural Minnesota. What district that will be is decided with the redistricting process that our state is currently undertaking. With the DFL proposed map, that brings all the Minnesota Chippewa tribes under District 8, which will make the Native vote and voice highly important into deciding who takes that seat itself. I can go on.
Sorry, I was on mute there, everybody. Hang in there with us. Apologies for that. Yeah, it's super exciting to see getting involved at like a local level. And, you know, why the change? Why not running for the same office? This is a higher office than the last campaign you were a part of. Why the change to go higher this time?
I've been an active and outspoken Democrat between North Dakota and here in Minnesota. I watched the Dem MPL turn their backs against Standing Rock. And I've experienced the fossil fuel money take lead here in Minnesota's DFL, allowing for the ongoing genocide of the Minnesota Chippewa tribes with the Line 3 expansion project. Furthermore, I am running for the congressional district because it is a chance to bring Indigenous voices to Washington. And I can't trust the DFL to do that under Tim Walz's lead. We have four Native Americans in Congress. Three out of those four are Republicans. And that fourth one is Sharice Davids. She needs support. It is time to elect more Indigenous leaders to the table.
I could not agree with you more, Joey. And it looks like there's somebody here who posted Joey's Facebook page. So if you want to keep up with what's going on with Joey's campaign, I believe it's facebook.com/EJOP3, which is your initials and the fact that you are the third as far as your name goes, number three. Is that how your name's going to appear on the ticket, or will it just say Ernest Opgar Peltier? Do you know?
It's actually currently on the ticket as Ernest Joseph Opgar Peltier III.
Oh, the full name.
It is a mouthful, but yes. Our website is also EJOP3.com. I'm trying to make it as easy for everyone because my name is such a mouthful.
You know, you're definitely memorable, though, because of that name, too, Joey. Don't totally knock it out of the park with that. How long do you have until we find out what district it will officially be that you'll be running for?
Through the DFL, we're having our county conventions our precinct conventions February 1st at 7 p.m. across Minnesota. We're hoping around that time that the redistricting will come to its head and we'll figure out what districts are going to, or where the district lines will be set. The district conventions are later on in the year. You can see that on the DFL's call, which is our list of running documents, and you can find that at dfl.org/document, if I remember right.
That's good to know. And I think it's February 1st for most places in Minnesota, too. But that following date, I haven't even heard in my local area when it's going to be. So thank you so much for sharing that with us for the northern area.
All of those dates are actually in the call itself.
Oh, so fabulous.
For all the conventions going down the line, it's already in the call.
Wonderful.
Joey, I have a real quick question. The redistricting, if it goes one way or the other, can it be hurtful for you or be, you know, really good for you?
Either way, going against a Republican corporate candidate, you know, so it's the same tactics going versus one or against the other. Both are against women rights. Both are against LGBTQIA. Mm-hmm. Both do not promote antitrust. And, you know, for our farmers, antitrust is key. We've seen a lot of chickenization of the economy in our agricultural businesses. And chickenization is pretty much, it's the monopolization of the producers, the big money producers, and they control what's going on within our farms. So I think it's going to be an easy win either way.
Mm-hmm. Well, wish you the best.
It's getting that endorsement, you know, and there's another great candidate in the race with me, and I think he's going to give me a good run for the money.
Okay. That's great. Thank you so much. We wish you all the luck in the world. We'll have you back on again. And you've been listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Thank you.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Hello, and thank you for purchasing the EasyVac 7, a wonderful invention by Scamco. Just plug it in, boot it up, and get your vaccination right at home for only 9 payments of $9.99.
Don't listen to this idiot. Get your vaccine free and easy at your local clinic. Herd immunity is our best chance of beating this pandemic. #protectyourherd. brought to you by McGissey Communications and Minnesota Department of Health.
For too long, American Indian tribes have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation in Indian country. They have worked hand-in-hand with tribes to implement the Tribal Law and Order Act, fighting against diminishment of tribal lands and natural resources, and improving public safety on reservations. The Robbins Kaplan American Indian Law and Policy Practice serves tribes and individuals on commercial, government investigations, agency and tribal boundary disputes, as well as personal injury. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purdon, their American Indian Law and Policy Practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. If you or your tribe are facing legal issues, contact RobbinsKaplan.com or call toll-free at 1-800-553-9910.
Mornings can be tough. Unless, of course, you're listening to The Stephanie Miller Show every weekday morning from 8 to 11 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Aho, relatives. My name is George McCauley, Omaha Nation. I'm a citizen of the Omaha Nation in Nebraska. As we head into wintertime, many of us will be back together indoors. It's important to make sure you receive your COVID booster shot. Older Americans are more at risk for complications for COVID-19. All three COVID vaccine boosters have been approved. Find a vaccine site by calling 651-304-9986 or go to vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies overnight with a low around 29, Tuesday partly sunny with a high near 39, and Wednesday a mix of rain and snow with a high near 50. Nightingale off 26th and Lindale has dining room and bar seating available. Menu favorites include the famous Nightingale Burger and Fries, Ginger Tamari Chicken Wings, Smoked Chicken Liver Plate, and more. Plus, they still do takeout and delivery. Open daily 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. with a full menu till midnight. More at nightingalempls.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm Wendy Pilot, and I'm hosting today for Robert. He'll be back tomorrow. This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. And up next, right now, we have Nolan Berglund. He's an awesome young Native warrior, and he's also an employee at Native Roots Trading Post in downtown Minneapolis, and we're really excited to have you on. Nolan, could you please introduce yourself in your native language and tell our listening audience all about you?
Yes, Hamatak Yapi, Ampetukile, Michante, Washen, Ape, Chuzapi, Kota Ia, Hihoni, Wichakpi, Mielo, Na. Washitu ia Nolan Berglund Machiapi. Hello, my relatives. My Lakota name is Ihoni Wichakpi, which translates to Morning Star. My American name, our government name, is Nolan Berglund. I'm 20 years old. I come from the Northern Cheyenne and Oglala Lakota nations. I was born and raised here in the Twin Cities, specifically over Eastside St. Paul, but I currently live in Southside Minneapolis. I am a graduate of Harding High School, and I'm currently an employee, like Wendy said, at Native Roots Trading Post. Thank you for having me.
Go ahead, Ogama, if you want to take over.
Yeah, absolutely. Nolan, it's so great to have you on the show tonight. You have started. You started working on Native Roots Trading Post down in the historic Dayton's Building in downtown Minneapolis just before things opened up and helped to get it all set up. What has that experience been like for you to have a native store in such a high profile space?
It's been a great experience so far to have the opportunity to be a part of a project like this, because there's not many times where us Native people get to take space in a project like the Dayton's Project. You don't see many Native people, you know, you don't see many Native businesses opening up in the cities. And it's been really nice to be a part of it, to be able to see many different people come in the shop every day with their smiling faces. And so many questions I've gotten too, because a lot of people aren't very educated about our culture or about how Native people are today. So it's so nice to see people coming in every day and asking questions. Like whenever someone comes up with a question, they're always like, oh, I'm sorry, my ignorance is showing, but I just really want to ask. And like, I always reassure them that it's always good to ask those questions so that you are informed, you know, in that way. Yes.
Yeah, Nolan, what kind of questions are you getting? Can you refer to a couple of them?
Yeah, well, a lot of them ask, have you ever cut your hair before? No, because my hair
I think I asked you that question.
Yeah, a lot of people ask that one. I'm always like, no, it's been 4 years since I started growing out my hair. But other questions people ask are, because we sell sweaters with the, it's a picture of a woman with a red handprint on her face. Mm-hmm. And people always ask what the handprint represents. And I always tell them that it's one of the main symbols of the MMIW, or the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women movement. And I explain to them a little bit about that if they don't know, and how every day, every week, there's more stories of Native women that go missing, and that it's important that we bring up that topic so that we're able to strive towards change and start mm-hmm. protecting our people. But besides that, I get a lot of questions asking what tribe I'm from, mm-hmm. stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, I'm really excited and happy that the store is there and that we're able to amplify Native American art and artists. And
exactly.
I really love that we have so many specialty items in the store. So I'm really happy that you're there. Nolan, Robert, and I are just thrilled that we were able to, you know, have you in the store as an employee. You're doing a great job. Just so everyone knows, Nolan does all kinds of work at the store. He, you know, rings the register, he enters some inventory, he puts up displays, and he talks to and greets all the customers that come in. So we really appreciate that.
And answers their questions too.
Yeah.
You know, Nolan, you get to see everything that kind of is coming in and out of the Native Roots Trading Post. What are some of your favorite items that are for sale there?
Oh, I will have to say, well, this is one thing that I've had my eye on in particular. We have beaded bracelets, we have loomed bracelets and loomed earrings. And we have this one set that I really have my eye on. It has black, red, orange, yellow, and white. And like, I always, every day I'm like, I hope someone don't buy that because I'm going to get it next paycheck. But besides that, I do really love our scarves and bandanas. They have beautiful designs on them done by various Native people from different nations, different tribes, different cultures. And whenever I think about those, or whenever people ask about them, I always tell them about when right before we were opening, and I was opening up the boxes with the bandanas in them. And every single one I pulled out, they just kept getting prettier and prettier. And I was just like, oh, I was like, Misko, look at this. It's so pretty.
Yeah. I remember having a similar reaction when I first saw the scarves myself, and they really are, they're wonderful, and they actually list the name of the artist on the side of the scarf or the bandana, so you can find more of their art later too, and they really are gorgeous. Personally, I'd have to say some of my favorites are like the candles. Those smell really nice, the candles and soaps. I love those kinds of things. But what are some of the other things that we have there, Nolan? I know I could list a whole bunch off the top of my head, but I know that you've got the most up-to-date list. What other kind of items can we find there?
Well, we have hemp pasta and wild rice. The wild rice is sourced by hand when they go and knock on the with on the canoe, you know. We also have hemp pasta that comes from Winona LaDuke's Hemp and Heritage Farm. We have many different kinds of shirts and sweaters. We have prints with pictures done by indigenous photographers that are so beautiful. And we have lots of beadwork. And we have many different stuff down there, and I love all of it.
I mean, even if people want to come down just to take a photo op, we have a big actual teepee inside the store, which is beautiful. When you walk in, you could see the teepee. And if anybody wants to know, we're at 700 Nicollet Mall in downtown Minneapolis on the first floor of the Dayton's building.
Yeah, absolutely. And what is it like? I know they decorated all the windows of the Dayton's building and had like this big unveiling of it. So I can't imagine people's faces as they walk into the store. What is the look on people's faces the first time they walk into the doors at the Native Roots Trading Post? What kind of reactions are you getting?
A lot of people walk in with a face of like astonishment, because, well, not only do we have beautiful products and items in there, but just the room itself, because it is the old J.B. Hudson's jewelry shop, and it's a very historic spot in that a lot of people come in and I hear them say like, oh yeah, this is the old jewelry shop. And like, I've heard many different times people's stories about when they were younger and how they used to come to Dayton's and they would go to the jewelry shop. We've even had people come in and say, yeah, I came here to get my engagement ring. And like, it's special stories like that that really make it wholesome, you know. And it really is a beautiful spot. We have marble along the gate that, in the front of our doors. And it's just a lot of history in that room there. And we're really fortunate to be able to have that space.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it is a huge and it is a gorgeous space there. And then, you know, we've got the holiday season coming up. And just to remind everybody, the Native Roots Trading Post is located at 700 Nicollet Mall in downtown Minneapolis. And we do not have any real supply chain issues happening for the Native Roots Trading Post this year. So you're definitely going to want to stop in. And you can find Native Roots Trading Post on social media as well. Native Roots Trading Post on social media as well. Our handle is Native Roots Arts or Native Roots Trading Post. I think it's just Native Roots Arts on Twitter because the Trading Post was already taken when we set it up. But I just see somebody here talking about how we should post a picture of it sometime. We do have an Instagram for the Native Roots Trading Post, so make sure to look us up on Instagram. And then I think, Nolan, you've been posting about it a little bit too on your own social media. I know you've got quite the following.
Yeah, I did make a post on it. I kind of just did a little life update, you know, letting people know, because it is my first job ever. The only time I've ever worked in the past is at the state fair. But as you know, that's only like 2 weeks long. But yeah, this is my first job ever. And I'm very grateful to be able to be in a space like this, because I much would rather prefer to work in a space that's community based rather than working for a place like Target or Amazon, where it's just working under a big company where you're not really seen. And yeah.
We love that it's an individual thing. We have like 6 employees, and I think we're going to hire one more person. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. And then we've got people who are coming in from all over the place to check out the store. Nolan, have you gotten to talk to people much about how far away they're coming from to visit the store?
Not really super far. I think the farthest somebody said that they lived up in Duluth, but I'm sure that we've had people from farther than that, most likely out of state. I just probably haven't gotten a chance to talk to them about it, but yeah.
Have you had a favorite day while on the job yet?
A favorite day? Oh, I do have one. It was, I think it was like 2 weekends ago. There was a fashion show outside of the shop, and I just remember standing and looking outside at the models walking down and like their clothes and fashion and all the music that was playing. I loved it. I was like in the store doing a little dance to the music.
That's great, Nolan. again, we're so excited that you're at the store and that you're working there, and you bring so much joy to the store. And you're always, I've been there and I watch how you greet the people walking in, and how kind you are, and you're able to answer all their questions. So I really, really appreciate it so much. Ogama, thank you so much for all those great questions for Nolan. And we'll be back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Don't go away. We'll be right back. If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strongheart's Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strongheart's Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm Wendy Pilot. I am hosting today for Robert. Robert will be back tomorrow. My Native American name is Hanajihihani, and that means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega, Curtis Mashke Hanajinga. Ogama, could you just mute your mic? I hear a lot of static coming in. Thanks so much. This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! We got a ladies only howl tonight,
we
Wendy.
We have a ladies only howl today. No out. Well, I have an alto voice, so you're a soprano howl, but. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's my pleasure to do that. It's my joy. Today I was going to find a funny piece to talk about because I've been so busy. As everybody knows, I've been spending a lot of time in New York. My niece just had a baby, so I've been here helping her because her husband had to go back to work and everybody else is working. And it's been great and it's been a lot of fun and a lot of work. But I really haven't had time to do a lot of research on different animals. But I did want to bring up this article that I did find. It's dated December 7th, so just last week. It was written by Denise Sawyer, and it's from Florida, and it's from 12 News. Vero Beach, Florida, CBS 12, a grim statistic shows that more manatees have died so far in 2021 than any other year in Florida's history. Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission's data shows that 1,017 sea cows have died so far in 2021. That's almost double the amount in 2020 and in 2019. Most of the deaths are in the Indian River Lagoon. That sobering statistic is prompting the FWC to do something it's never done before. The agency is setting up a feeding area in the Indian River Lagoon to keep manatees from starving to death. In the Indian River Lagoon, the researchers estimate that 90% of the seagrass they eat has died off. Quote, they are starving and they see it and I see it in person, said Paul Fayetta, who is the president of the Clean Water Coalition of Indian River County. Quote, I am out there all the time. I'm witnessing it. It's heart-wrenching and it's sad. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission approved a joint plan to move forward with supplementing the diet of malnourished manatees seeking warm water refuge in the Indian River Lagoon on Florida's East Coast. The plan is being done on a limited experimental basis to target already malnourished manatees and prevent starvation due to the seagrass losses in Indian River Lagoon as a result of repeated harmful algae blooms from excess human waste pollution. Quote, you fix it now or a couple of years, you don't have to fix it because it'll be too far gone, said Fayetta. We want to thank both the service and also the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission for taking this important step, as Patrick Rose, an aquatic biologist and Save the Manatee Club's executive director. We have made our position on the provisioning of supplemental food for the manatees known to the state and federal government, and believe this will be a significant move to help prevent another severe loss of manatees due to starvation that occurred last winter. Between December 2020 and May 21, 677 dead manatees were reported on Florida's East Coast, the highest number ever recorded in the state during a six-month period. Most of the deaths occurred in the cooler months of January, February, and March. By November 19th, the total number of manatee carcasses recovered in the state was 1,017, an all-time record. Manatees usually begin returning to Florida's warm water in December. Despite their size, manatees have relatively little body fat and cannot survive with prolonged exposure to cold water temperatures. They need a constant warmth from natural springs or power plants once the temperature begins dipping below 68 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 30 degrees Celsius. Manatees are herbivores, and seagrass is their mainstay of their diet. But excess nutrient pollution is fueled persistent annual algae blooms for over a decade in the IRL, resulting in the loss of more than 90% of the seagrass biomass there. The majority of the waterways are essentially devoid of seagrass. As a result, the severe loss of seagrass on the east coast of Florida It is important to watch for manatees that appear malnourished with visible ribs and a sunken area behind their head and visible to keep their and unable to keep their balance while breathing more rapidly. A manatee calf by itself with no adult around may be an orphan and should be reported. Anyone who spends time near the water should view the resources at savethemanatee.org/rescue and report distressed manatees immediately to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission Wildlife Alert Hotline, and you could look that up. However, Rose stresses that feeding the manatees is against the law without proper permits, stating ultimately the decision of whether to feed manatees is a physiological and logistical is complicated as it is currently illegal to feed or give water to manatees, he said. Manatees may lose their fear of people and boats and learn to associate them with handouts only to be harassed, injured, or killed. We are asking people to please don't feed them on your own and share the message with your friends, family, and neighbors. So they really want you to just report if you see these manatees, because they do have resources to help feed them and to keep them alive. The one thing that I'm kind of disappointed in this article that I read is that it says that this comes from human waste pollution, but they're not really talking about how they're going to solve that problem, which is really the problem, is the human waste that's ending up in this river, causing the problems for the seagrass to die off, and then in turn the manatees are starving. So it's really just putting a Band-Aid on the problem by feeding the manatees, but I'm glad that they are decided to do that and to help the wildlife so that they can continue to breed and be there. So I think we have just a few seconds left here, and you've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we will be back tomorrow. Robert will be hosting. Thank you so much, Ogama. Thank you, Joey Pelletier. Thank you, Nolan Berglund, Free Leonard Pelletier, Free Leonard Pelletier, Stop Line 3, and please get vaccinated.
We are a Calusa Nation.